Okay, we are on Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom, at the two dots, right? Because we had talked about the following individuals, the Menes, the Shniya, the Amnes, etc., that don't get Ksuba. So Amr Shmuel, Loshanu Ella, Mana Masayim. About Tosefes Yishlehem. So Shmuel says, by the way, just when we say they don't get a ksuba, what do we mean? We mean they don't get the ikar ksuba, I mean the part of the ksuba that is required. That part they don't get. But the Tosefes, that which her husband initially on his own offered as extra, that she still gets. Rashi points out, why is that? About Tosefes Yishlehem, three lines in the bottom, Rashi says, Dematana ba'alma yahivla. That the Tosefes was something that he offered her because he wanted to. It wasn't something that it was required of him. So the Iker Ksuba, she doesn't get because, for the different reasons we've talked about, that the relationship wasn't really a marriage, etc. But if he offered her a gift, right, which was the Tosefes Ksuba, so that she still gets. Tananami Hachi, Nashim Sha'amru Chachamim, Ein Lahen Ksuba. So a Bryce that supports the idea that women that come and say they don't get a ksuba could go on. Hamim Ma'enes, V'chav Roseha. So Ma'enes and all the others, right, in her category. Ein Lahen Manam Messiah, V'at Tosefes Yishlam. They don't have the Iker ksuba, but they do get the Tosefes. And Nashim Sha'amru Chacham Yotzos Shalobi ksuba, but the women that, about whom the Chazal said they leave with Alex Suba Kagon, Oberes Aldas, Vechabrosah. I think we had on Daf Ayin Beis, women who are not keeping the halacha, right? Certain halachas that have decided not to keep, etc. So, which is part of the understanding of a marriage, that they're going to, that, you know, everyone's going to keep certain, keep halacha, and then she decides not to, and the other examples that are given there. So, Ein Lehen Tosefes. So, they don't get the Tosefes. V'kol Shekein Manam Asayim. Right, and certainly don't get the Manam Asayim if they don't even get the Tosefes. Vayotzos mishum shemra notelas mashal lefaneha vayotza. And the woman who leaves mishum shemra, right, the woman who the chavroseha, right, Rashi points out the overa sadas and the chavroseha, right, Rashi points out nim sualeha nidarim or mumin mekalelas yolda befana, right, all examples of women who it turns out they're thinking all kinds of things about it that he didn't know about, so it ends up being a mekach tavs, right? Also, and then Yotzei is mishum shemra. Rashi says she's zinsa, a woman who's mizane. So then, what does she do? No talis mashal lefaneha veYotzei. So she takes mashib lefaneha. Rashi says v'nichzei miluk ka'amar, meaning whatever's left from nichzei miluk, she brought that into the marriage. She just takes that, just picks that up because that was hers going in, and she leaves. But she certainly doesn't get her ksuba. So, but the point is that this brisa supports with the comment of Shmuel, right, that this is that for the Mima Enes and the other women in that category, Shniya, Islandess, etc., that those individuals don't get the Iker Ksuba, but they do get the Tosefes. Fine. So it says Gemara Messiah Leila Rav Huna, and this also supports Rav Huna. Why the Amar Rav Huna Zinsa Lo Hivsida La Useha Kayamin, that a woman who is Mizane, she does not lose whatever is left of her blos, right? Rashi says the language a little bit, maybe more straightforward. Blos Shehen Kayamin Lo Hivsida, right? The blos that are left over, so she doesn't lose those. And time is fine. So that's what Rav Huna said. So this brisa supports that idea also. Right? We used the first half to support what Shmuel had said, and it turns out the second half of the brisa also supports an idea that Rav Huna says. Fine. So Tani Tana Kamei de Rav Nachman. So they said this idea in front of Rav Nachman. Zinsa Hivsida Blau Seh Kayamin, that if she's Mizana, she loses whatever that leftover blow, it's the leftover, you know, clothing, etc., that she brought into the marriage. And Amalei, and so someone said that in front of Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said, Amalei, im hi zinsa kelehat mizanai. She was mizana. We got it. But her clothing wasn't. Right. So why should she lose that? There's no reason that she should lose her, you know, basically items that belong to her anyways. Right. So she loses the ksuba because she violated the marriage. But to lose items that belong to her doesn't really make sense. So Tani lohiv, so Tani lohiv sita blav sekayim. So he said, what it should say is that she doesn't lose the blows that are left. So Amar Rav Barchana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Menachem Stimasa. So Rava says, Rav Barchana says, and then Rav Yochanan, no, this shita that she loses the blows kayam, and that's the idea, that's the statement of Menachem Stimasa, Rav Menachem, about whom they would quote ideas without saying his name. Right? They would just say them stam. About Chachamim Omrim, Zinsa Lohiv Sida Blavos HaKayamim. Yeah, but the Chachamim said that like what Rav Nachman is saying, that if she's Mizana, yes, she loses the entire Ksuba and the Tosefis, but she does not lose the blows that remain. Fine. Okay. So the next piece that the Mishnah talked about was what happens if when they got married, right? He knew what was going on, right? Imit chila nasa l'shem islandess yishlak ksuba, right? So islandess in general is a reason for it. If it turns out she's an islandess, she loses the ksuba. Because basically, not thought he never would have married her if he knew she was an islandess. But what happens if he knew she was an islandess and he marries her with that in mind? So then the Mishnah said, she gets the ksuba. So Amrafuna, islandess isha ve'ena isha. Okay, so Rafuna says, islandess is an isha ve'ena isha. Does not mean she's maybe a woman or maybe not a woman. That's not even what it means. Wife or not a wife. Right? So Rashi says, Isha ve'ena isha, pa'amim hi ki ishto, pa'amim ena ki ishto. That's what we mean when we say this. Because you'll see, it has to be, because we mentioned almana also. So islandess is sometimes like his wife, sometimes not like his wife. Almana, isha gemura. But almana, you're really married. Almana to whom? Right? Almana we meant. Almana to a kohen gadol. Right? The kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. But so Rav Huna says, I don't want to put islandess and Amman and the Kohen Gadol in the same camp. Why? Because an islandess is not clear if she's even really his wife. But an Amana to a Kohen Gadol is clearly his wife. Okay? Islandess Isha, and what does that mean? Islandess Isha and Isha. An islandess can sometimes be like his wife and sometimes not. Why? Because Hikir ba Yesh Laksuba, Lo Hikir ba In Laksuba. Because if he knows she's an islandess, so they're fine. So he marries her on that account, and he wants to, then fine. Then they're married, and how do I know? Because she gets a ksuba, right? But lo yikirba ain't la ksuba. But if he doesn't know who she is, and just finds out later, so then she doesn't get a ksuba. So you see that islandess is only sometimes considered like really his wife. But amana ish gemura. But amana is for sure his wife, right? Bein hikirba, bein lo yikirba, yesh la ksuba, right? But whether he knows about her or not, it shouldn't make a difference. She always gets. Always gets a ksuba. And part of this is going to be a question of how you read the Mishnah. Right? Because the Mishnah had said, Mima enes, shnia, alanis, etc., all of them ain't lang ksuba, v'lo peris, lo mazon, lo blos. And then the Mishnah says, imit chila nasa l'shem alanis, yesh la ksuba. Right? And then continues to talk about amon l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza, etc., etc., and saying they have a ksuba. So the question, part of the question is going to be, when we then talk about amon l'kohen gadol, is that line which you said earlier, which was imit chila nas l'shem, right? He knew that, etc. Does that fall on other cases also, or is that specifically on Alanis' case? Which, if I read the Mishnah, probably would have thought it was just about the Alanis, because that's the whole point of Alanis, is that she doesn't get older, right? She doesn't ever mature. She doesn't ever, her body never changes. But fine. But we'll see. Okay. So back to the Gemara. So Rav Huna had said, "Anas Isha ve'ena Isha, Amana Isha Gemura, Anas Isha, Amana Isha Gemura, Ben Hikarba Ben Likarba Yesh Laksuba." Fine. So that's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda Amar Omer, Achazu va'Achazu, Isha ve'ena Isha. Rav Huna says, "No, this is not only a rule that applies to the islandess, but even to an Amana Lekohen Gadol. That each of them could sometimes be like its wife and sometimes not." Okay, Hikarba Yesh Laksuba. And because it depends if he knows. Meaning, it's true that Amon Lekohen Gadol could be fully his wife, but even though it's Aser, but at least she's the wife and she gets a ksuba. But what would happen in theory if he marries this woman and he doesn't realize she's an Amana? He thought she was never married before, right? So if Lo Hikirba, then presumably he says, Ein Laksuba also, right? So she really should be no different. It's just, you know, the fact that Almana, most people know she's an Almana, but the bottom line is, fundamentally, it should be the same. And if he wouldn't know that she was an Almana, presumably she would lose her ksuba then also. Which again, it's not befeirish in the Mishnah that way. Okay, so the Gemara says Meisve. So they're going to attack this opinion of we're going to see the attack the opinion of Huna first. So Meisve Kinsa Becheska Shehi Kain Vinim said Shehi Kain Yesh Laksuba. Right. So Bryce says that if he marries her with a chazaka that she is this way, and then it turns out that Chitaka is that way, so then what happens? Yesh Laksuba Hastama Ein Laksuba. Right. And this is referring, actually says Shodi Aso Shehi Almana, right, about being an Almana. Right. So if he marries her on the assumption that she's an Almana, and then it turns out that Shitaki is an Almana, so then she has a ksuba. So Hastama in Laksuba, what's the implication? The implication is, without any official information, if you would marry her, Stam, and then find out that she's not an Almana, what would happen? She's not a ksuba. She does get a ksuba. Right? That sounds like Rav Yehuda. It sounds like against Rav Huna. So it says, Gemara, lo tema hastama ein la ksuba. Don't tell me that. The implication of that, Bryce, is not that stam, she doesn't know ksuba, ela ema kinsa becheskas she'ena kain, v'nim says shehi kain, ein la ksuba. Meaning, there's two ways to read the implication. One implication is that if she married her assumption that she was an almana, turns out that she is, so then you get a ksuba. Good. So then what's the implication? So you can say that, oh, sounds like stam. She wouldn't get it, right? Or you can say, no. In a scenario where, right, what's the other way to read? The opposite, the implication is, oh, well, so what happens? Kinsa b'ches she'ena kain, v'nim she kain, right? In laksuba, oh, so what does that mean? It means that if you would marry her, assuming that she wasn't, right, an almana, and then it turns out she's an almana, that's when she loses her ksuba. Right? That's like the more extreme way of reading the opposite, quote, opposite case. Right? As opposed to saying, stop a case, she loses her ksuba. No, if you really thought she wasn't, right, and then she is, oh, so you don't get a ksuba. But just a stop a case, maybe isla, maybe she would get it. Okay. It's possible. I would say that most of the time we read verses like that and we make an implication of stam, it's the other way. It's not the extreme case. It's usually, we go to the middle, usually, right? But okay, fine. So, but anyways, that's at least a defense for Rav Huna. So, Adetani Becheska Shehi Kain, Vinimsa Shehi Kain, Yesh Laksuba, Lishav Inan, Stama, Yesh Laksuba, Bekol Shegeinan. So the Gemara says, well, not really. Right, back to part of what we said. Right, if you're going to tell me becheska she came, v'nimda she came, she has a ksuba. Right, so what I really say? Right, stama. The Bach adds this stama yesh la ksuba. You know, v'kol she gena. You know that's hard. V'od tani kinsa biyadua v'nimseis biyadua yesh la ksuba kinsa stam ein la ksuba. Right, also. Right, the Brisa says that you married her biyadua, knowing it, right, and then you turned out that you know it, right. So then the implication is that kinsa stam, she doesn't get it. So the language is kinsa stam in laksuba, a different Brisa. So that's tiyufta to Rav Huna. So that's clearly Rav Huna is wrong, he's rejected. So fine. So it sounds like Rav Huna is not correct, and really we follow the approach of Rav Yehuda, which would be that. Achazu, right? If you know the question of hikirba can apply to both of them, both the Alanis and to the Almana. Fine. So Gemara now wants to defend Rav Huna, like he's not crazy. Why did he think this? I mean, he's wrong. Yeah, but why did he think it? Rav Huna masnisin at ise. So Gemara says, just by the way, just you know, go a little easy on Rav Huna. He got confused by our Mishnah. Why? Who savar min kamaflik ba Alanis v'lo kamaflik ba Almana? Right, velohi kikatani la lamana aplukta da alanis kai. So it's exactly kind of the point that I mentioned earlier. When you look in the Mishnah, right, the Mishnah says bima enes shnia alanis in lang suba velo peris l'mazonos l'velos, and then it says mitchila nas l'shem alanis yish lak suba. Period. Right, and who's it referring to? Only that they got married with, you know, only in this case, if you got married assuming that she was an Anus, then she's a Ksuba. So who's that about? It's only about Anus, right? And then the Mishnah continues, Aman l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza kohen hediot. All those cases, yesh lahem Ksuba. So the implication is that this piece of, like, if you originally married and thought she was an Anus, so only in that case does the Anus get a Ksuba. That's very, again, very specific to the Anus, and I think makes a lot of sense if you assume it's only the Anus, because only the Anus is like this sort of like surprise, right? That she doesn't mature. She's the one person who, like, her status is confusing. Right? Everyone else's status is relatively straightforward. The Anus is the only one who's like she could really hide it in a certain sense.
Well, so usually when the Mishnah is going to give a list, it's going to say V'od or something
right.
to that effect.
And it doesn't do that. Right. So that's why I might think it only applies. That's why Rifuna, you know, was confused by the Mishnah, and I think it's more than confused. He read the Mishnah, and the Mishnah seems to really like line up only Anus by itself, and because of that, they made him think that was true. But Lemaisa, that's not correct. Which by the way also makes sense, because you know, if you don't know the status of a woman and you marry her, right, and it turns out you find out something different. So you're right. So that really could make a difference. That hikirba lo hikirba could apply in a certain sense just as easily to Alman l'kohen gadol, and that's how the Gemara concludes.
But Rabbi, in all those cases, right,
yeah,
the woman knows her status except for the Alanus, who also might not know her status. Is that correct?
Right. So you're saying she's tricking him.
Yeah. Well, right. And
she's not tricking him. She doesn't know.
She can't trick him. In all the other cases, she could trick him. But in that case, maybe she also doesn't know. And there was no trickery involved.
Right. It is possible that an Anus does know. There are other Mishnayos that talk about, like, at a certain age, she's like 20 or something, there's a certain age that an Anus knows she's an Anus
right at
that point. So it's a good question. Like, is this referring only to an Anus at a certain age? Right? Because if it's an Anus earlier, you're right, then the whole thing is really confusing. And maybe she herself doesn't know. Maybe that would be different. You're right. Yeah, in a time, it's a good point. Okay. All right. The 11th parak. Okay. So says the Mishnah, beginning the parak, Yud Beis. Hanosei she isha upaska imo kedei she yazun esbita chamei shanim chayev lezona chamei shanim. I'm going to see this is a woman who's very savvy. So a woman marries a man, and she makes a decision. She makes an agreement with him. That he's going to finance his daughter from another marriage, right? So she gets married to this man, and this is at least her second marriage, and she has a daughter. I'll say that, and she makes a deal: when we get married, you're going to make sure to finance to take care of my daughter for 5 years. So fine, they make that deal. Chayav lazuna chameshanim. So of course he has to take care of her for 5 years. Nisei es la'acher. What if they get divorced, and now she marries another man. Upaska imo, and then she makes an agreement with the second guy, Kadeshi Yazun Sibita Khameshanim. And she makes an agreement that you're gonna marry me, you gotta take care of my daughter for 5 years. So what happens? So Chayav Lazuna Khameshanim. So he also has to make sure to finance her for 5 years. Okay? And we haven't said yet. Maybe they overlap. Let's see, right? Lo yomar harishon. So when that happens, the first husband shouldn't say l'cheshetavo etzli azuna. Right? He shouldn't say to her, look, when she comes to me, right? She says klomar im ha'isi mekayim es ima ha'isi zana. Right? He shouldn't say, look, the guy can't now say the first one. No, that I only meant that when we were married. Right? He can't say that. Elamolich la mizanoseha la makom she'ima. No, he has to send the money to where the mother is. So meaning, point being, he has to continue to pay. Right? Even though they got divorced, no one said, as long as we're married. He just said, 5 years. And he agreed to 5 years. V'chein lo yomru shneihem, hari anu zanen osa ke'echad. They can't say, well, we'll split it. Right? We're now both, you know, whatever it is, they were married only for 1 year. So for the next, you know, 4 years, we'll split it, and the fifth year, the guy will take it, whatever. They can't do that. Ella, echad zana ve'echad nosin la demei mazono. So what happens? So one of them actually, you know, pays the money, gives her the food, and the other one gives the money, meaning she can double dip. Why? Because that was the agreement. The agreement was 5 years. No one said, as long as someone else isn't financing her. Nisei's habal. So what happens if, Nises, if she gets married, meaning if the daughter gets married now, Habal nosin lamizonos, so the husband now is required to take care of his wife, right? So this, the daughter gets married, the husband has to take care of her. Vehein nosin lamizonos, and she still continues to collect for the rest of those, the 5 years. From both men, right? From both. Well, three, now it's all three. Right? The two stepfathers, and the new husband. Mesu. What if the husbands die? So benoseyan nizonos minichas and bnei charin. Right? Their children, right? Their daughters, their own daughters. When these men who had been married to this girl's mother. So when they die, when the man dies, so that his own daughters are only nizam from nechas minichavim, right? Like the halach of how daughters get taken care of by the estate. V'hi nizamus minechas mishubadim, but she gets from nechas mishubadim, right? Why? Because he about kabbalas chov, because they owe her money, right? So baal chov gets money, gets paid even from nechas mishubadim. Okay, so since this is all true, concludes the Mishnah. Hapikchem hayukosvin amanas shazunes bitcha chameishanim kozman sha'atimi. All right, so after this, found out this halacha, all of these men, so the smart ones say, yo, yeah, we'll take care of 5 years as long as we're still married, because otherwise she could go ahead and she could collect a whole lot of money even when they're not married anymore. Fine. So says the Gemara, itmar haomer lachavera chayav ani lacha mana. So a person says to another person, I owe you 100 zuz. Rabbi Yochan Amar Chayev, Rishlakash Amar Pater. Rabbi Yochan says you gotta pay, because you said you're Chayev. Rishlakash says you don't have to pay. Hey Chidami, Ida Amarla, Da Amarla Hu, Atemedai. If she told them, if the person said to like the other people standing around, by the way, you're my witnesses, I owe Reuven 100 zuz, my time is Rishlakash, the Kapata, then why would Rishlakash say you're not Chayev? You have Edom. But if you didn't say you're my witnesses, meaning you had no witnesses at all, and you just said, hey, by the way, I owe you 100 zuz, my time is of Yochan de Mechayev. How could that be? Why are you chayev? Just because you said it? So la'olam, the lo ka'amr lehu atemedai. No, the answer is you didn't say atemedai. V'hacha maya skinan, what's the case? Da amr lehi, chayev ani lecha mana b'shtar. What did he do? He says, I'm chayev a mana to you, but how did he say it? He wrote it down. Rabbi Yochan amar chayev. Yochan says you have to pay. Why? Ilema milsa deshtara kamanda amalehu atemedai. Dummy. Mishlokish amar pater lo alima milsa deshtara. So Yochan says, look, you're right. If you just say you owe someone money, so that's not enough. But if you write it down, even though it's not a signed shtar, but it's just a written, you wrote down that you owe the money, so that already makes the guy have to pay. Yochan says, that's ridiculous. Shlokish says, no. He says, the fact that you wrote it down without any edim and any signatures or anything doesn't make any difference, and you're not chayav to pay. So we'll pick up with this conversation next week.